Soccer has taken Frank Farina around the globe and to the very top coaching position in this country for the Socceroos. Football has been his life's passion, but now he's a man suddenly cut adrift after being dumped this week by the A-League club Brisbane Roar. Hello, you're listening to Sunday Profile and I'm Monica Attard. Frank Farina, as you'll soon hear, thinks he's been treated most unfairly by Brisbane Roar after he was picked up for drink driving on his way to a morning training session last weekend. He'd been drinking at home the night before and says he felt fine when he woke up to go to work. It was his first drink driving offence while under contract to the club, but Brisbane Roar says it can't excuse nor condone his behaviour off the field. Whether or not the sacking was harsh is a matter of opinion, but Farina expected more, and he wants to go into mediation with the club's bosses over his payout, particularly because he says he's copped a triple whammy. His career has been destroyed, his reputation is in tatters, and he's lost his driver's licence. So where to now for Frank Farina? Well, I began by asking him whether being sacked from the Brisbane Roar was more humiliating than being sacked as coach of the Socceroos.
I'd have to say without doubt, when my time was up with the Socceroos, I thought John O'Neill, who was the CEO at the time, and Frank Lowy, who was the chairman, you know, handled it very well. I was there for 6 years, but I think my departure was handled well. It was done amicably, and I think everyone came out of it with a bit of dignity, particularly myself. In this instance, I believe it hasn't been handled really well, and you know, I've been vilified, I've been crucified. You name it. It most probably is one of the hardest periods or times in my football life.
Mm. Were you sacked from the Socceroos or did you leave of your own volition?
You could most probably say sacked, but it was handled in the way that, you know, they said it was my time. And we discussed it and I left of my own accord, but you may as well say that pretty much you were sacked, yes. Mm.
So when you say the sacking from the Brisbane Roar was more humiliating than leaving the Socceroos, I take it was pretty hard for your family too. I mean, what was worse for them? Was it the invasion of privacy or was it knowing that you have narrowing choices ahead?
Yeah, I think it was more the invasion of privacy and the manner in which it came out in the press. And look, it's copped a lot of coverage. I think it's really sullied my reputation. You know, as much as I've said I've made a mistake, but to have people on, you know, on your front lawn walking up to your doorstep and ringing the doorbell, you know, I'm big and ugly enough to be able to handle that. But when you're talking about children and my wife, it makes it a little bit difficult. And hence me coming out with a press conference early on in the week just to explain to everyone to try and keep them, you know, personally away from the home.
It must be particularly difficult for you emotionally because soccer has, in fact, been your whole life, hasn't it? I mean, you started playing as a child. You had an Institute of Sports scholarship at the age of 17. By 19, you were a Socceroo. You competed in the Seoul Olympics. You've played in Europe. It must be a particularly difficult one to deal with emotionally.
Yes, emotionally. I think throughout your career, you have your ups and downs, and more often than not, there's more downs than ups. So you've got to enjoy the ups when you can. But I'm very happy and proud of the career I've had. But you know, hopefully, I've still got a long way to go. But this is one of the difficult times. And
when you say there's a long way to go, what do you mean? Where is there to go now?
Well, I'm still only 45, so I'd like to think that you know, I've still got a future in football, whether that be in coaching or in another capacity. I'm not sure. But first and foremost, I want to get through this period, and then I'll, you know, reassess or assess where I'll go from here.
Because you are in dispute with the Brisbane Roar over the amount that you should be paid out from your contract, I'm assuming that the reason that you are in dispute is because they've offered 3 months and you believe that you should be paid out the 18 months. Is that correct?
Well, look, I just want it to be fair. At the end of the day, as I said, I'm not hiding from anything, and I was offered a deal to basically to go away and be quiet. And all I wanted was something that was fair. You know, we've seen a lot of high-profile sportsmen, people in the country that, you know, have most probably made a similar mistake and sometimes even worse. And very few of those have been summarily dismissed straight away without going through a process. And I think the process in all of this situation by the club has been wrong and unfair.
You said several times that you feel as though the club was just simply trying to pay you out and make you go away quietly. Why do you say that? What did they say to you that makes you believe that they simply wanted you to go away quietly?
Well, I think they said basically nothing. You know, there was no support in terms of, you know, duty of care. I think, you know, all employees, or employers, I should say, as we've seen with recent individuals going through similar circumstances that are, you know, had support from their employer. I think the silence was the most difficult thing for me. That I'm not saying, you know, I was left completely out to dry, but there was no duty of care where you looked at possible suspensions, fines, whatever. It was basically, no, you're finished. You know, take this and go away and be quiet.
What sort of things would you have expected the club to do?
No, I think go through a process. You know, obviously it's clear that, you know, I have made this mistake, and you know, you do tend to look for support, and from the people who, you know, obviously 2 years ago thought it was, or no, sorry, 1 year ago thought it was appropriate to re-sign me on another 2-year deal. Mm. But you know, the silence was basically deafening. When I say, you know, looking for support, I think just going through a process. If, you know, if they'd been prepared to weather the storm and say, well, look, you've done the wrong thing, but, you know, we'll support you on it with whatever sanctions they may have tried to put in place, that might have, you know, come across a bit better in terms of myself than, you know, what happened, where it was very clear to me that they wanted me out.
Okay, so why do you think they wanted you out?
In the board meeting that I attended on the Monday night, I was told, you know, that they were getting pressure from the FFA as well. There's obviously a lot of things going on with the club in terms of ownership or...
You think it was related to that issue?
Personally, I think so, because I was told so by the board that, you know, that was one of the things. But, you know, then they brought up other issues like discipline, crowd figures and whatever. It seemed to be... And let's face it, the club are not in a bad position at the moment in terms of the football team.
Well, but let's just take it one issue at a time. Let's just talk about this ownership issue, because 45% of the shares of the club are owned by four owners. Raw owns the remaining 55%. And on April the 30th this year, the FFA confirmed their offer to take a controlling share in the club. Now, the owners declined that assistance on the 22nd of May. Why do you think your presence, your continued presence at the club, might have had an impact on what the FFA wanted to do or not to do in relation to equity ownership at the Raw?
Well, I think initially it was a great idea that the FFA came in. Obviously, with the incident happening with myself and talk of the FFA coming in again now, I think they put pressure on the club to see what they were going to do about myself. And
so were you saying that having a coach who was on a drink driving charge might not have been a good look for the FFA looking to come in on an equity basis?
That's what I was told from the board, that they were getting pressure from the FFA. And
you know, on the drink driving issue, though, specifically? Or on you generally, even prior to the drink driving charge?
Yeah, they did say there was pressure. And, you know, ultimately I knew that what the decision was going to be.
Mm. I mean, let's talk about that as well. It's not just this drink driving charge, is it? I mean, you have a very feisty reputation, I suppose, and that has been, I guess, for you, problematic in the past. I mean, you once, for instance, nearly choked a journalist, as I recall, with whom you had a bugbear, an SBS journalist, Andrew Orsutty. Now, that was all settled between you. But everyone says that you have a fairly fiery character. Do you see it the same way?
I'd rather say passionate, but I think anyone who knows me within the football community and football world would say that I'm a genuinely nice guy. I've got you know, some reputations out there for whatever, but I think it's more so because I speak my mind, and you know, I've always been one to think that people like to hear what you actually think, and on occasion that has got me in trouble, but I wouldn't say that it's anything terrible. But, you know, I don't think I'll change. You know, the day that, when it comes that I'm just going to be saying what everyone else wants me to say, I think, you know, one, I'd be disappointed. And I think anyone that you know, believes that I'm, you know, capable of coaching or doing anything else in football would be disappointed to hear what I'm saying if they know that that's not exactly what I mean.
Oh, do you think there's too much pressure on soccer administrators and coaches and players to actually confirm what the FFA wants them to say and not to speak their mind?
You know, the FFA are concerned about the growth of the game and the growth of the sport in this country, and that's all well and good, I think. But, you know, sometimes they can go over the top in terms of their control. You know, when you talk about just the A-League alone, you know, coaches and players are not so much instructed, but they're guided on what they can say. And you can't criticise referees, you can't criticise the governing body, you can't criticise other coaches or players. At the end of the day, opinions is what makes our game great. And I think when you take that away and you stop people from expressing their opinion, as long as the opinions aren't destroying or really going against people and defaming people, I think, you know, people that pick up newspapers or listen to radio or watch television, if they know the individual or know the individual's character and then they see them saying something, you know, which is just not in their character, it's boring.
Do you think you were just too opinionated?
Possibly. No, that again, you'd have to ask other people. But, you know, I certainly have always spoken my mind cautiously. You know, on occasions been reprimanded for speaking my mind.
Okay, I'd like to talk to you a little bit, if I can, about drinking, because at the end of the day, this has all come about because you were caught drink driving. Mm-hmm. Can I take you back to what happened last Friday night? You were drinking at home, is that correct?
Yes, yeah. I got home about 6 o'clock and there was two A-League games on. I think it was Sydney v Melbourne and Perth v Adelaide. And my wife had travelled to Sydney for a party. So I was at home with the kids and yes, I was drinking at home. I hadn't been out, didn't go out anywhere. Drinking at home and was in my bed around, I think, 11 o'clock and up at 6. Absolutely thought I was okay to get in the car and drive, but unfortunately that was a mistake.
That was the next morning.
Mistake I made.
But you must have drunk an awful lot to still be caught for mid-range drink driving the morning after. That's twice the legal limit.
Well, obviously I drank too much. As I said, it was a mistake in judgment, and yeah, I'm paying the penalty now in a very big way.
But how did you not realise that you were still under the influence of alcohol?
Yeah, I felt fine. I felt, and I'm sure that, you know, there's most probably a lot of people out there that, you know, have done this a similar thing and felt exactly the same. I got up, I was completely feeling fine. I thought there was no problem whatsoever, and hence I got in the car. Otherwise, if I had felt that I was, you know, incapable of driving or... And I know it may sound silly, and as I said, I made a mistake in judgment, and unfortunately, as I said, I'm paying for that now in a big, big way.
Do you think that you do have an alcohol problem?
Personally, I don't. You know, I like a drink, I'll admit that, but no, I don't think I do.
In a press conference that you gave after your sacking, you compared your situation to the Brisbane radio personality Ash Bradman, who was this week given time off by his employers to deal with his alcohol issues. And I wondered, when you said that, whether you're saying that you do have a drinking problem, that you wanted the club to give you time to deal with your alcohol issues.
Well, I think the process they followed at Nova was commendable. You know, otherwise, do they sack him straight away? That has been my issue, that it was basically as soon as it came out and it was known, I was left like the proverbial on a rock. And that's what's been disappointing for me.
But did anybody at the club, in talking to you about this issue, ever say to you, Frank, you know, do you have an alcohol issue?
Yes, possibly once one of them asked me, I've heard it might be a problem. And I said, well, look, I don't think there's a problem. But, yeah, obviously with Saturday morning, there was.
Now, Clive Palmer, a fellow Queenslander and owner of the football team Gold Coast United, thinks that you do have a drinking problem. He says that you should join Alcoholics Anonymous.
Well, if that's exactly what Clive said, I think that's very libelous. Clive and myself, we've never spent time together. You know, we may have had our friendly exchanges in terms of banter from two rival clubs in the newspapers, but that's something which we'll look at further down the track once I get through this. But for Clive to say that, if that's exactly what he's said and it's been quoted, I think that's very libelous and damages my reputation, particularly when, you know, the gentleman does not even know me. We've never actually even been out for dinner or crossed paths. I don't even think we've been in front of each other to say hello and shake hands. So I would be very disappointed if you know, Clive had come out openly and said something like that without, you know, knowing me as an individual and as a person and, you know, how I lead my life.
So you don't believe that you do need to go to AA and you don't believe that you do have an alcohol problem?
Well, I don't certainly believe I don't need to go to AA. If you have to go to AA, well, then you certainly do have one. I'm either in denial or I'm right.
Can we move on a little bit, because your successor has now been appointed, and it is who everybody thought it would be, the coach of the young Socceroos. Is that a good appointment?
Look, I think Ange will do a good job. You know, he'll stamp his own authority on the team and his own style, and you know, proof will be in the pudding, but it is a good squad. We've had a horrendous run of injuries and, you know, unavailability of players through whether it be suspension or international duty. But, you know, all of those players will be coming back in the next few weeks. So he's got a good squad to work with. And, you know, the last two seasons, the team's gone very close to, you know, one game from winning the minor premiership in both years, and one game away from the grand final in both years. So it is a good squad, and I think he will do a good job.
And what impact do you think your departure will have on the team's performance?
I don't think it will have too much. You know, depending on the style of football the new coach wants to play, they'll have to get used to that. But look, I think there may have been a little bit of disappointment amongst the group because, you know, it was a good tight-knit football team. Everything moves on. You know, nothing revolves around one person, and particularly in our industry, football. So, look, if there is a bit of disappointment, that'll quickly go because, you know, games come around quickly and you've got to be focused on that. And I think the team, you know, with a great leadership group and a good mix of young players will continue on.
You think the team will be happy to accept their new coach?
Of course. They're all professionals. They're paid to play football, irrespective of who's calling the shots or who's in charge. That's their job. It's as simple as that. And, you know, I expect that they will all get on with the job and do well for the club. Mm. So, you know, you've got to have a strong leader that's going to be the boss, and he's the boss of the football boss, and you know, reports to the board. And so, you know, I think at the moment there's a bit of work to be done within the club itself, and obviously from the financial side of things, you've got, you know, four fantastic owners there in the Barrodells and Emmanuel and the two Emmanuels from the coffee club. You know, they've put a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of passion into the club, but there still is, as you said, I think 45%. I'm not completely sure of the percentage, but you know, that needs to be sorted out very quickly. So it is 100% owned and financed in terms of going forward. You know, with my situation, you know, a lot of the state of the club at the moment has been blamed on me, and I think that's very unfair. Within talk crowd figures, you talk whatever.
Yeah, poor performance, questionable squad discipline has been another very, very big issue for which you've been blamed, has it not?
Yes, it is. And you know, when you talk about poor performance, we've been devastated by injuries, and we're still very much in the hunt. We're still in the top six, which is the qualifying thing. 17 games to go. And, for example, last weekend we had 8 players from our first 11 squad that were out, and that's been the case from the beginning of the season. And, you know, they talked about crowds as well, but at the beginning of the season, if I can put this scenario to you, that, you know, everyone knew that the Gold Coast were coming in, a new team into the A-League, which is virtually just down the road from us, and more than likely there would have been at least 2,000 to 3,000 Gold Coast supporters that would often travel up to Raw games. But when you get your own team on the coast, of course you're going to most probably go and watch them. And then they raised ticket prices, membership prices at the beginning of the season. For me, that was a recipe for disaster straight away in terms of crowds. If you've got a new team just down the road and you've raised your ticket prices, these are things that, you know, possibly you'd have to ask supporters and whatever, but you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out that, you know, crowds were most probably going to be down.
Okay, I'm Monica Attard. You're listening to Sunday Profile. I'm talking to Frank Farina, and thank you for being with us. Frank, I'm just going to turn attention now to the future for you. Can I ask you, would you like to coach the Socceroos again?
Oh, Monica, that's a very difficult question at this stage. Look, you know, again, as I said, my reputation, not only as a football coach, but as a human being, I suppose, and as an Australian, has been sullied. I've helped with that, obviously, with the drink driving charge. But to coach the Socceroos, who knows, further down the track. But I think more importantly for me is, one, to get through all of this, and then obviously get back into coaching in some capacity.
Presumably that's going to have to be international now, is that right?
Well, not necessarily. It depends if anyone's prepared to take a chance, you know, on me. And that's, the proof will be in the pudding, you know, further down the track. But with what I've done throughout the years with Australian football, I'd like to think I've still got some credit left.
You don't think that the drink driving charge and this immense amount of publicity is going to knock you out of A-League coaching in Australia?
Well, that's a possibility, Monica. But, you know, I'd put this to you as well. If every Australian that has made the mistake that I've made, whether you be a celebrity, a sportsman, just Joe Blow off the street, if everyone was sacked for the mistake I made from their jobs, I think our unemployment rates would be through the roof.
Has anyone approached you to say, you know, hang in there, there will be something for you when this all dies down?
Not in football. Outside of football, there's been a couple of things, but I won't discuss those. But in football, no, not at the moment.
Mm. Okay, just a few issues which have been floating around this week to do with soccer more broadly, not necessarily to do with you, in fact, not to do with you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, let off the hook for a moment.
Oh, for a moment, yep.
Do you think there will be any damaging implications for Australia's World Cup bid from the alleged abusive comments from the Socceroos team manager, Gary Moretti, to the Oman coach, Claude Leroy, during Wednesday's Socceroos versus Oman game?
No, certainly not. Look, I know Gary Moretti very well. I had him with the national team as the national team manager when I was there. He's a very passionate guy. And as I understand it, it's all been, you know, fixed up, if you like. Discussions have been had according to the papers. And as you know, you've got to believe everything you read. And I don't think there will be any ramifications or, you know, negativity or any effect in terms of our World Cup bid because of that. These things happen in football sometimes, and you know, as long as they're handled properly, which I think it was by the sounds with John Boltby going and seeing Leroy. No, to answer the question in a long-winded way, I don't think there will be.
Was it nonetheless an inappropriate thing for Gary Moretti to do?
Most probably, it was a little bit inappropriate, but as I said, these things happen, and you know, if they're handled properly, you know, everything's okay. But look, I don't think it's a major issue. It's not an international incident. It, you know, one coach getting really upset about what a manager, you know, a team manager says, and most probably at the time it was inappropriate. But again, as I said, in the heat of battle, these things happen.
Okay, can I just put one final question to you, if I might? In the Australian newspaper, Patrick Smith has written, Frank Farina believes he's been made a scapegoat. He can shorten that. He's been a goat. Sporting clubs are public property. Farina's flaws are broadcast far and wide. His behaviour reflects on the club, its backers and supporters, and it reflects on the code itself. Is he right?
Well, he's certainly right that I've been a goat. But as I've said, we've had ministers, we've had celebrities, we've had sports people that have been goats as well, but have not been sacked. Summarily sacked without going through a process. So, yes, he is right. I have been a goat, and I've been the first to put my hand up. I wouldn't say a goat, but I've been a bloody idiot. But there are a lot of other people in higher positions than me that have been goats or bloody idiots as well, but haven't been sacked. And as I said earlier, you know, if this happened to everyone that has been a goat or an idiot, I think our country would be in a lot of problems, a lot more than we are now.
And life without soccer, is that possible for you?
Look, it is, but it's been my life since I was 16. You mentioned earlier in the show that I've been through, you know, every Australian institute, if you like, or football team from, you know, the AIS through to national teams and whatever. So that's been my life. Would it be the end of my life not to have football? No, of course, you move on. And, you know, you've got to take your medicine. And like I've always said to players and people that, you know, I've given advice to, believe it or not, some people do take my advice, that, you know, never put your head in the sand. If you make a mistake, be man enough to stand up and admit you've done it and, you know, face the consequences and move on and do your best to get out.
But you say you're taking your medicine, but you're still going to take them to court, aren't you, if they don't give you what you want?
Not a matter of give me what I want, but I just think the manner in which it was handled was unfair. So it's a matter of, you know, whether it's mediation or, you know, talking to each other. But I don't know, Monica, you tell me, do you think it's fair that I was summarily dismissed?
Not for me to say, Frank, but we'll leave it there.
Oh, come on.
We'll leave it there. I thank you very, very much for joining us.
No, it's a pleasure, and thank you.
Frank Farina talking to me from Brisbane. And if you'd like to hear this interview again or any other Sunday Profiles, all you need to do is go to our website at abc.net.au/Sunday Profile. You can download the audio or podcast the show, and you can send us your thoughts about Farina's sacking. And that's it from us for this week. Thanks for listening. Thanks also to Belinda Summer, our producer. I'm Monica Attard, and I'm back next week, so please join me again then. In the meantime, stay with us on ABC Radio National, because Revision is up next.
Paul Barclay here from Australia Talks. The Rugby League State of Origin, Wimbledon, the AFL Grand Final. We're a nation of armchair sportsmen and women. But would you be prepared to pay to watch sport on TV? The rules guaranteeing sporting events being shown on free-to-air are under review. Listen now or download as an MP3 podcast from the Radio National website at abc.net.au/rn and follow the prompts to Australia Talks.